This is a replay of the Wednesday night, July 8th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Three big hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it's on mine. And like I was saying, I was looking over companies. You know, we've talked a lot about Sears and their tremendous blunder by getting rid of the catalog at just the wrong time, which still doesn't compute when you consider that they were an early investor in Prodigy. They obviously knew what, or believed they knew what online ventures could do, and they give up the catalog? Yes. So that's well known. But they aren't alone. Not by a long shot. And I was looking at some of the errors, and some of them you know, things like NASA and some arithmetic errors, or, you know, not stating specifically that they wanted metric. I'll get to that. But Toys R Us, all right, seems to beat them all as far as I'm concerned. And I just love this story, and I did not know that this was the deal at all. But let me find the details again. Just reading this minutes ago, and you're right, a lot of good that does me. And I guess I can go by history since I clearly closed the page. Yeah, right. In absolute disgust after reading about it. And utterly amazing to me what happened with regard to Toys R Us. And maybe you don't remember it, but it was October of 2012, I think, that they got the bright idea that they would cash in on action figures from television shows. And so it was, hoping to cash in on the massive success of Breaking Bad, they come up with four action figures of drug dealers. Yeah, and unsurprisingly, they had to pull them from the shelves. But far as I know, the four collectibles based on characters from the AMC hit show each featured a detachable sack of cash and a bag of meth. Right? What were they thinking? I don't know. Then there was Apple Maps. You know, when your competitor goes ahead and does something quickly and it looks like it's going to be a big hit, you want to really play catch up in a hurry, right? So maybe you leave out some of the facts. Well, I think that Apple Maps left out most of the facts. Locations were mislabeled. Roads were missing. It occasionally steered people in the wrong direction completely. And apparently, they fixed it eventually. It was quite the problem before the relaunch. So, yeah, maybe being first is nice, but being second, you might want to take your time on that as far as that goes. Oh, then there was the $33 airline ticket from Toronto to Cyprus. All right, that would be regularly priced at $2,558. So $33 sounds really too good to be true, and they weren't planning on it. It was an Alitalia employee who accidentally forgot to input a couple of extra zeros when pricing business class tickets from Toronto to Cyprus. And due to the exchange rate, hundreds of buyers managed to snag fares for $33. And the airline did the right thing. It honored the deal. Needless to say, it had to. But apparently, 509 people purchased tickets before the error was detected. Then there's commas. Now, I was mentioning about metric before. And if you don't remember that, this isn't so much that it cost them money. It's much worse than that. It lost the entire craft. And this was 1999. And you might have known about the Mars orbiter that sort of disappeared. And the probe's entire loss. Well, what that came down to was was Lockheed Martin thinking metric and or thinking British, when in fact it was metric, and it lost in space. And so that was $125 million. I think they're still looking for it. And so it's an interesting mistake. And Lockheed was using the English because NASA had been stipulating using metric for many years. And now the problem is not that Lockheed made the mistake, but how many people at both Lockheed and NASA saw this and didn't catch it? Yeah, well, they still haven't caught the craft as far as that goes. And we've got another, you know, while we're at it, very often NASA's the gift that keeps on giving. There was the $70 million comma. Small errors, costly mistakes. And so here again, Lockheed Martin issued a contract to a customer with a missing comma in the sale price. And the bottom line is that that the customer held them to the deal. Cost Lockheed $70 million for a C-130J Hercules in 1999. Don't know what that comma denoted, but it denoted a $70 million loss for Lockheed. See, and you're upset when you can't balance your checkbook. Well, clearly you're not alone. Then there is Ross Perot. He had enough money to spare. So, you know, $60 million, that's pocket change for him and a good thing. In 1979, he was offered the chance to buy Microsoft, buy it outright for $60 million, and he passed. His final offer to the company was $15 million. Yeah, he missed out on the opportunity to own one of the biggest companies in the absolute world. And then there's BlackBerry. All the rage, not all that long ago, really, 2000 even. And then, of course, Steve Jobs came along with the iPhone. BlackBerry Messenger was really popular, 80 million users worldwide. It lacked a lot, like the new touchscreen functionality and the sleek design of an Apple product. And it went from being the market leader, literally, to having a share of 0.2% by 2016. Yeah. And it's interesting because you still see some entities using them, some law enforcement agencies and stuff like that, because the BlackBerries were spectacularly safe. But then again, you know, with so little market share, who'd want to hack them? Radio Shack, of course, you know, that's sad as well. Yes, they had the brick and mortar presence, and that was good, but they always had a great catalog. Well, they didn't embrace it. They did not embrace e-commerce, and poor profit margins were the result. And that's amazing to me because I always had a Radio Shack, a Tandy catalog, things like that. And apparently, unlike Sears that just discontinued the catalog, Radio Shack had it as a, you know, a distant second, if anything, in their marketing plan, preferring to concentrate on the brick and mortar. And there you have it. So, and you think you've made mistakes. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we're going to get to Don and Beloit. Ooh, going to talk about Buffalo Radio. Cindy in Chicago, and hopefully you too. There is room. Want to mention the Sea Crane Company right now, and especially that CC Pocket Radio. If you go to ccradio.com, you can read all about the CC Pocket. And if you haven't bookmarked ccradio.com, you'll want to do that, because in addition to great products is great information about radio. And so if you're a fan, this is a wonderful arsenal. Now, Bob Crane, when he started this company many years ago and started developing his first radios and select antennas and things like that, the deal was, he, like many of us, was just absolutely aghast at the state of radio reception. You know, they'd sound good and they'd look good, but man, oh man, as far as signal, AM and FM, especially AM, but FM too, just lackluster. So he said, I can do better. And that's the commonality that every radio he sells have. They just have terrific reception. And the CC Pocket, yeah, it'll fit in your, easily fit in your purse or your pocket, as far as that goes, makes a great everyday radio. I keep one in my purse, and it does have unbeatable AM and FM reception. And given the size, it's got really nice sound as well. But they include their earbuds, which are beautiful. So spectacular sound that way. But even that built-in speaker is going to surprise you. It's simple to operate. It's got 5 memory buttons to instantly tune to your favorite station. And it makes a great emergency radio because it's got a lighted dial in the NOAA weather band with an alert. Very lightweight, very durable, easy to hold, rubber sides, a pocket clip, hard to destroy, because I'm hard on my toys, and I still have one that I haven't destroyed yet, so I'm testament to the fact that they're hardy. All right, go to ccradio.com anytime, take a look at it. If you can't, you can give them a call. They'll answer all your questions, and yes, you can order by phone if you want, and that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, oh man, ccradio.com, you look at the CC Pocket. You tell them Raleigh sent you. Now, after you do that, if you want to order by Amazon, it's available that way. But hey, start out at ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and you're saying, why are you playing that? Well, because Jonathan in Kentucky requested it. 1972 on Capitol. Yeah, Cleveland rock and roll royalty there. Eric Carmen on lead. The Raspberries. All right. So we got Don in Beloit who's going to kick it off tonight. Don, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Wow, Eric Carmen and the Raspberries. Wow. That was looking into that a few nights ago. That's so funny. I was studying him.
Wow. All right. If you want to, go ahead.
No, that's okay. It's okay. It's an interesting story, of course. Mm. Well, I want to go back. I love going to back to your themes because I can't always call in, or I'm listening on the road and I can't really.
Wait a minute. Be there. I can't really is where we lost you. Are you still there? Hello. Oh no! This. I hear little noises. Try again. No. Those are just digital noises. They don't count at all. All right. So this is terrible because Don wants to talk about Buffalo Radio, and I'd love to. George Lorenz, anyone? All right. So he'll call back when he's in a better cell, and if he's at home, I guess walk into another room and try it again. In the meantime, we've got Mike and Pecatonica. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Mike.
Hello, Raleigh.
How are
you? Good evening. Good. How are you?
All right. What's going on?
Hey, you mentioned Sears in your lead up with some of the businesses that have struck out.
Yeah, you know, to me, that's the story that I lose sleep over, because I remember so well in, you know, early 1987 when Sears was investing heavily in Prodigy. I never liked it because it was a GUI interface, but regardless, you know, the idea for that. And then next thing I know, they get rid of their catalog. I'm like, are you people crazy? And so I don't get it. I do not get, you know, it'd be one thing if we said, well, they really didn't understand anything about online, but they, for God's sakes, they invested in Prodigy. Somebody there had a clue that something might work out. Why did they dump that catalog?
I'm old enough to remember when you used to order winter clothes, and you could get just about anything out of the Sears catalog.
Oh, no, of course. And if you're really old enough, if you're, you'll remember the man on page 602.
Well, I tell my sons, who are now, they're in their early 30s, I tell them that Amazon is pretty much what Sears used to be. Well, and they think I'm crazy, but I see a lot of similarities.
Of course there are. And I mean, there are some differences as well, but of course there are. And again, that's why I say, how the hell can you have the best-selling catalog of all time, know that there is an internet, know that it's worth it to invest your time and money in, and think you're going to fold the catalog? You know, I literally lose sleep over this, and no one's ever been able to properly answer it.
Well, what do you think led to their downfall? What corporate decisions led to that?
I think they missed the boat on a lot of things, obviously, and that's a case in point. You know, and they tried to do so many things in their stores that didn't work out, but the catalog alone is enough to cause a downfall. The other thing is, people forget, Sears also had a lot of real estate. Remember Sears Town? It would be the Sears, and then you'd have outlet, you know, you'd have strip center stores and all that. So they had a lot of brick and mortar, but together they could have, there are so many things they could have done right. And I don't know firsthand anyone in management there, but whoever said let's fold the catalog, as far as I'm concerned, that's a death sentence. We should shoot you.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's sad.
It is. And you know, it's funny because after Sears, I mean, Montgomery Ward lasted longer, and JCPenney lasted longer. I mean, Sears was the first to say, we'll just give up the catalog. This is, you almost think that the competition was paying them.
Well, and, you know, there's obviously someone at the top of the corporate ladder who was making really good money to make some decisions. But it seems like there's a lot of people who are in CEO positions who are just dopes.
Well, no, here's the big problem, and this is human nature. You know, we talk about people who are, really standout inventors and all this, and they're the guys who create things. But if you scratch the surface on all of them, they didn't have anything to lose. Whether it was Todd Storrs with Top 40, well, why not? He's got an independent radio station that's making no money at all. Why not try something? People who have something to lose, two things happen. One is they're fat and happy, like Kodak turning away Evan Land. You don't need a Land camera, the hell with that. So they're fat and happy, they're doing well. The other thing is they desperately want to protect that, and so they don't reach out to new avenues. And the two combined, between not thinking you need to do it at all and being afraid to do it, cause people who have nothing left to lose to come on board. You know, here's Amazon. He's going to sell books out of his closet. Obviously, what did he have to lose? Nothing.
Yeah.
So that's the key. That's why it happens. When they're fat and happy, they get, you know, they get staid and they get scared. It's a deadly combination.
Well, I appreciate your insight. So good show. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Do it again.
Thanks. I will.
Okay, bye. All right, so yeah, you see that every time, and you can see and you know, that's network radio. When television debuted, of course, network radio still was viable, but as Top 40 came in on worthless stations, the network stations weren't giving up the block programming and the shows that they had, regardless. And by 1960, you know, a good 10 years in, they were all in deep trouble. And here come these little upstart Top 40 stations that are just owning markets. So, all right, Bob is a first-time caller. He is in Western Springs. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
All right. Thanks for calling.
No. I listen all the time. I wanted to remind everyone about the Christmas Wish book.
Of course.
That Sears published.
Of course. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. We're going to take a break for the news for a minute. We'll be right back with the Wish book and you coming up on WGN Radio.
Look and see. You'll agree. He's got personality.
Hey, have you heard the latest story that's bringing on the smiles? It has caused some blushing laughter and some anger for a while. For those who shop by mail for all their family clothes, in the fall and winter catalog, more than fashion is exposed. Yeah. In the fall and winter catalog on page 602, I see this advertisement that makes me come unglued. The pictures got me out of sorts, 'cause I don't understand. Are they advertising boxer shorts, or are they trying to sell the man? I don't know. I'd send them all my money if I could make a wish come true. I just wish I was that man on page 602.
Look and see, you'll agree, he's got personality.
You know, when these wish books are delivered, anxious people start to look. And when they price them their boxer shorts, they suddenly get shook. Some say it's all in error. Some say all in fun.
He could be tarred and feathered.
Or maybe even hung.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Jack Barlow. It was the last thing he recorded. He recorded it as Zook Finster, and it actually charted on the Billboard Country Charts. And this was the biggest deal. This was the fall and winter catalog of 1975. And on page 602, it's just a nondescript pair of boxer shorts. But as you look at it, it looks like the guy is exposing himself at the bottom of it. Firstly, oh man, forget that that's probably not even anatomically possible, or would you want it to be? But it's probably a watermark. But nonetheless, this just took off like wildfire. And I swear, that probably in 75 caused more people to pick up that catalog. But we were talking about the Wish book, which, by the way, was a little different. It was a popular, it was Christmas themed, but they also had a Christmas catalog that was different from this too. So it had a lot of toys in it and other holiday-related merchandise. And it started in 1933. And so Bob in Western Springs doesn't have that edition, but I'll bet you as a kid you looked through it.
I didn't look through that one. No, I was still, as they say, in the statue.
Okay.
Did you ever hear that phrase?
Yes. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
You know, we used to wait for the wish books.
Sure.
I did my early childhood. Was in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became a teenager in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
and the wish book showed up every year.
Yeah,
you circle what you wanted.
Right.
And the other thing, while I was on hold, I was thinking, you know, I had an out-of-town grandparent.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
I bet you a buck there were so many people who would tell Grandma and Grandpa, let's say in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Look on this page. I'm circling it here. Do you have your book yet? Oh, yes, Robert.
Yeah, absolutely. And for grandparents, it was a godsend because half the time they don't know what the heck to get. And so this was an easy answer, and they could order by mail.
We would get that box. You know, we get that box.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, there were a lot of things in there that we discussed over the phone, but
yeah.
Everybody had the book.
Right. Of course.
You know?
Absolutely, that's true. And even after they, you know, stopped with the regular catalogs, which was 1993, they continued to do the wish book for a while. It got smaller in size, but that was around. And then
it became a pamphlet almost.
Yes, right. And they would give it away at the auto centers. And it was, you know, things like that. And also, they would put it inside anything on Sears.com. So already they had Sears.com. So come on, you've got Sears.com. Why aren't you beefing up that catalog and bringing it back big time? I don't get it.
You know, for a couple of years, I think Toys R Us published something small.
Yeah, well, you know,
I don't know. After I seem to remember that.
After hearing about
they went out.
Yeah, well, a toy company that is putting out action figures that include dope and money, that's a little bit on the top. I don't know. Wouldn't matter what they did, I guess. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, as long as I have you on the phone, you know, we talk a lot about 50s and 60s radio and all.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, I ruined my academic career when my parents bought me my own TV in my bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd watch TV, and you know, this was even before, like, do you remember a TV show hosted by Les Crane?
Oh, of course.
He had, what did he have, Deserada? Did that chart?
Yeah, but no, he was on late at night. And the problem is that
I watched it.
But the problem was he was one of the many nameless faceless who tried to go up against Johnny Carson. And so in his case, to try to differentiate, he became known as the bad boy of late night. And so it would be controversial discussions and all that. And, you know, they'd do the live stuff, well, it would videotaped, obviously, at night. But they also had remotes and things like that. Orson Bean was on that show all the time.
My goodness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he would sit in a chair and swivel around.
Yeah.
I remember him introducing Little Anthony and the Imperials on his show.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Perfect place for it. And what city were you in when you were growing up?
I was in the metro Chicago area.
Okay, well then you had a lot of good television.
Oh, we had great. We had great local talk shows. Cubs show. Remember
right.
Cubs?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. Irv, yes, absolutely.
Irv Cubs.
And he was on CFL also. So, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Channel 7, the stimulating art of conversation.
Right.
Sit around.
Right.
And talk around the table.
Well, absolutely. No, I mean, Chicago was just resplendent for that stuff. And, of course, there were a number of teen shows, too. Jim Lonsbury, when he had Chicago Bandstand and all that. And remember on Channel 26, there was a Kitty Agogo, I think it was the Mulqueens. And
there was a guy who used to promote U.S. 30 drag strip, and he had his own show on a Hammond AM station, WJOB.
Oh, absolutely.
And his name was Jan Gabriel.
Oh, of course. I mean, he's famous.
Yep.
I mean, that's...
How do I remember all these?
No, that's... Jan Gabriel is one of those legendary names. Jan Baby Gabriel. And, he also would do the Sunday. And,
right.
Saturday night, under the light. Saturday night, under the light. See these funny cars. Yeah, I know. But
we're the great ones.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And
well, thank you for your time, and I do appreciate your picking up my call.
I hope you will call again.
I hope so too. When something's there was Tom Snyder was cool too. I like Tom Snyder as a youth.
Yeah. No,
when he had he had a radio show though. You were mentioning network radio.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Didn't he have a network radio show too?
I think that was network, and that was actually a little later. It was syndicated like in the late 80s, and yes, he did.
Yep.
But that was sort of later. He was from Milwaukee. He was a Milwaukee boy. He was on RIT and things like that. But yes, I'm trying to think if that was Westwood or who. But anyway, yes, it was syndicated for a while, and that would be like late 80s to early 90s.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, thank you again so much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
So how nice. Yeah, fun stuff. And I'll bet you some of those Les Crane shows you can see on YouTube. I don't know for sure, but I would guess. But yeah, I love the drag strip shows and the commercials. And most of that came out of Fort Worth. The two guys at KFJZ in Fort Worth sort of had that franchise, and they do that for tracks around the country, not for Jan Gabriel. He did his own stuff. And there was a guy in L.A., J.C. Agajanian, and his were also in that vein, but he did it himself. Yeah, and it was his locations were always freeway related, like where the Harvard, the 91, and the San Diego freeway collide, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right, now Don called back. We're going to try. All right, Don, are you there?
Hey, Raleigh. Hey, I think I switched phones on you.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, and this happens with you occasionally. Are you moving around the house? Well, how can you have the world's worst cell connections?
I never do that. But I'm starting up a new phone, I think, tonight that should alleviate the problem I'm hoping to. And I'll probably end up with a landline.
It won't be a landline anymore. Go with VoIP.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely go with VoIP. And always on my replays, I give a plug and I don't get anything for it but from my favorite VoIP company because they are such a lifesaver for me. So if you ever listen to the replays, you can hear what they are.
VoIP.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, okay. There, in the future, there will be no landlines at all. Already, there aren't many. Everything's sure. VoIP. It stands for Voice Over Internet Protocol. Oh. And that's the way it all works. And there's many, many, many companies that do this, including some that advertise mercilessly. But there's one, and I'll tell you, actually one VoIP out of Oklahoma City, that they are just incredible. Their pricing is tremendous. Their customer service is, well, they've saved me more times than I can tell you. I've only had one in over a decade. I only had one fatal crash with them when a data center went down that wasn't actually theirs. And other than that, I've never had a failure with them. And, you know.
Kim Komando, of course, is just such a great resource, too.
Well, yeah, but of course, remember, she's advertising a lot of stuff that she's getting a lot of money to advertise. And that's fine. I don't blame her at all. In fact, what she did was nothing short of brilliant. What she when they started out, and of course, you know, she was doing it locally here, but and her PD was a very seasoned radio guy. And what they decided to do was syndicate something that would be on a weekend, like Sunday morning. And here was the catch. Because she had been a salesperson for, you know, computer companies and all that and had all those ins, if you ran her show on Sunday mornings, most likely you would get advertising because of it. And so this was totally brilliant. You know, she got affiliates in a hurry. And, you know, my hat's off to them. They've done very well with that.
Yep.
You know, just very well.
Right. Riley, I love going back to themes that you do because I can't always call in to your show, but I was listening in when you were talking to that. Who's our fellow caller that called in to you about WKBW? You guys were talking about it.
Oh, yeah, KB. Absolutely. That's Mark in Aurora who loves Buffalo Radio.
Right, Mark. And, of course, I grew up there, and he was talking about WKBW.
Well, right, of course.
Riley, I wanted to jump on this because, wow, I mean, like, we're talking about my childhood, you know, and everything. And who was, like, on the front lines of all this stuff was, like, the neighborhood lifeguards. You know, the neighborhood lifeguards were the best of the best kids that Mr. Moore, the gym teacher, would hire, only the best kids, and what did they listen to? And he knew exactly when who was switching around and who was going to turn the radio on to which shift. And it was all the neighborhood pools. And they only listened to WKBW and Chum FM. That was sure. really the only two radio stations that ruled.
Right. And that's much, much later than my era with anything, of course. As soon as you say Chum FM, there was no Chum FM when I knew Chum. But it was 10:50 a.m. and that was it. But the big KB era actually goes back long before you thought about it. 1955. And the guy who was just, and a little before that too, but the guy who came over, I think he came from XRA, was George Lorenz. And George Lorenz was the Hound. And this guy was incredible, the sound of the Hound. And, you know, believe me, in 1955, that was certainly different. Now, he had, right before that, he went to Cleveland for a while in 53, and arguably he influenced Alan Freed. And I know that's always been a fight, but, you know, Freed, you know, copied him, no doubt about it. First, he called himself the Hound Dog, and Lorenz threatened him legally, and then that's when he came up with the Moondog and all the things that went to that. But he was, you know, doing all the rhyming and jiving and all that, you know, daddy style and all that stuff. And he was just great. And so when you consider how staid KB's well-known Bible works, KB's history was, to have this guy coming on and playing Little Richard and Fats Domino, this was pretty amazing. And then later he actually, in 63, he actually put on an FM station there, BLK, which, again, arguably that's the oldest continuously running only black formatted radio station. And so he would do broadcasts from clubs and the bar and the War Memorial Auditorium. And so that was great. Yep. And then, you know, a few years later here, you know, KB Cap Cities and all that, here's Joey Reynolds and, you know, Joey, the Royal Order of the Night people. Every kid along the Eastern Seaboard sent in for a Royal Order of the Night people card, and he was just tremendous. And, you know, then a decade after that, Jack Armstrong, your leader, was on. And, of course, Sandy Beach had been PD and a number of other things. But Buffalo was a great radio market, and KB was part of the reason.
I wanted to talk to you about some early 70s things. It's so wild. This was, like, so big. I don't know. I know this sounds stupid based on some of the other things that grand things you've done or stuff, but around 72, I had to look this up, but it took me a long time, and I finally found this thing. It was this sticker. Everybody had stickers, and if they called in your license plate.
Oh, yeah, that had been going on for a decade by then. And remember, in between.
KBW did this thing, though, that was wild.
Okay.
The Evel Knievel was popular, and Harley Davidson had this number one kind of symbol with stars and stripe, you know?
Yeah.
And the bicentennial was getting closer. So KBW, I had to look this up. It was 1972. They make this number one symbol with stars and stripes, and they put Radio 15, WKBW,
right.
Number one. It's
right.
The big number one.
Right.
And if you put it on your car,
yep,
you could get like a prize, or they would roam around the whole counties and give prizes out or something. And it seemed like millions of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that was historic. And actually, there was a little keychain with that on it, too. I think I still have one. And so there were a ton of those. But yes, those were, you know, collectibles. And yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to email you. It wasn't just KB.
That sticker exists, and the keychains and all those things existed separately from it. But yeah, absolutely. And so I think there's still an Evel Knievel store online. You can probably still get it. It won't say KB, but I bet you if you checked eBay
right.
or something, you probably would find it.
And I think people are familiar with, like, that number one Harley Davidson kind of sticker that's kind of similar. Exactly as similar, yeah.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And like I say, that was a keychain. Tons of radio stations use that as far as that goes. Yeah, big plastic number one.
Those DJs were so popular. They were so popular. But of all some of them, of course, were TV broadcasts that did the news. But of all of them, nobody was more popular than that Danny Neverett.
To this day, I hope he's still alive. I don't know, actually. Good.
You and I talked about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, as recent as a few years ago, man, he'd walk down the street in Buffalo, he's still royalty. And when they used to do those retrospective weekends, and Joey Reynolds would come in, and man, Joey and Danny together, of course, absolutely. He's as good as it gets when it is that era of... of Top 40 radio, of course. And by then, people didn't remember The Hound or George Lorenz. Although at that time, and he died in 1972, so he was gone. But he had a tip sheet, Mickey Turntable, that his sister actually ran. That was on for years. We all subscribed to Mickey Turntable. But yeah, Danny Neverth, absolutely.
And KBW, they introduced songs. You and I have talked about this. They introduced songs in that era, like Elton John or Paul McCartney. And they'd always have like a KBW thing segued right into the song.
That wasn't only them. That was a jingle company did that. They do it for any radio station that paid for the package. They didn't originate that.
And then the DJs, this is the part that blew my mind. The DJs had their own jingle song. That was so fun.
You're acting like that's unique. That's what the jingle companies would do. And they'd sell them in packages. And probably the biggest, most of the stuff came into Dallas. And the reason for that is it was non-union. So the singers were, you know, not paid as much. And the guy who really probably more than anybody was Bill Meeks. And he started it in the 50s as advertising jingles, but it quickly became the de facto number one thing for radio jingles. And there were other companies as well, Pepper Tanner and, you know, Sandy Green, and there were a bunch of others. But in terms of Pam's, they'd be notorious. Like this, the series that most people remember was Sonovox, for whatever reason. I just hated those jingles. But in any way, what you'd get is you'd get a demo reel with somebody else's call letters, and then they'd give you all the different cuts. And what you did was you supplied them the names of your disc jockeys. And, you know, they'd be sung into the little song. But so, you know, it might be Danny Neverth there, but, you know, somewhere else it's Sid King or whatever. You know, I mean, it's whoever.
Yeah, but, yeah, in Buffalo, nobody else. I mean, I listen to everybody, and nobody was doing that, well, like KBW was doing that. Yeah.
But that was just, you know, Pam. Pam's Series 18, Sonosational, for instance, was a big one. There were a number of them, but sure, absolutely. And during the Cuban Missile Crisis, actually, WQAM aired coded messages, allegedly for the CIA, that Pam sent them. To this day, I wondered if that was real or not, but they did. And I have no way to know. But
is that near Miami?
It is in Miami. But see, all those Miami stations that had decent signals were, you know, Havana was only 90 miles away. So, you know,
I got one more thing for you, Ronnie. Yeah. I appreciate you talking to me. That same time, or maybe that same show, you were talking about theremins, and you don't like play a theremin. You put your hand. It's a grounding.
Right.
It's a grounding pitch. You know, so based where your hand is compared to like an antenna, you change the pitch. Now, according to my junior high teacher of that era we were just talking about, somewhere around that, the most listened to song of using a theremin was that. The theme song to the NBC mystery movie.
Right.
And maybe you could like look at that theme song was so cool. It was so eerie.
That never interested me. And that's what the theremin did so well, was those eerie things, the sci-fi movies and all that. It sounded otherworldly. Right. And that's why when I came across this guy doing that Sunday that summer on a theremin, you don't normally hear that. Because it's
very creepy.
It's not, though, when you listen to it. And let me find his version here, and I'll give you a
little. McMillan and Wife, Columbo. My dad loved McCloud.
Right, and that's what they would do. But this guy, I think Art something, I can't remember his last name, but in any event.
Can you find the theme song to it was also called the Sunday Night Mystery Movie.
Yeah, but, you know, like I say, I don't like them. Those are typical theremin uses. And you had the same thing with the Beach Boys stuff. So that's why when I ran across this guy, it was like, you got to be kidding me when you're doing that Sunday that summer. And it's just different. Hear that with a theremin, and to me that just did it. We're in a commercial break, by the way, heading into the news, when I heard this guy Harrison was his last name do that, I said, damn, now that's what a theremin should sound like. But no, it sounds more like the movie themes that you're talking about. I just hated them.
All right, Raleigh, well, thanks for talking to me.
All right, thanks for calling, appreciate it. All right.
And talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
If you're listening on the stream, that's great. If you're listening to WGN, I'm talking to myself and you're not hearing a thing. So we'll pick it up next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There's a recording engineer who should have been shot. Absolutely. And otherwise, it was great. Yeah, and maybe if somebody else had recorded it. Not different than the Four Sonics, but I mean in terms of did the physical mixing of that. The Four Sonics were a 60s soul group in Detroit. They had come from a group called the Velvet Angels. But there were four guys, obviously, the Four Sonics, Bill and Steve and Eddie and Jay. Well, they expanded to five members, and they were thinking, well, should we be the five Sonics? And then they decided, nope, we'll be the Four Sonics plus one. And that plus one was the real key to the recordings. After that was Johnny Dixon, who had an incredible vocal range. And so he did it all, and one of them was Tell Me You're Mine. And that was on the Sepia label. Oh, man, I'm telling you, it just breaks my heart when I hear stuff like that, because the quality could have been so much better. But in 1968 on Sepia, even so, big Northern Soul hit, and Evelyn in Michigan liked it. So I hope she's listening and heard it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Fran is in Austin. What's up, Fran?
Oh, not too much. I like that version of That Sunday, That Summer. It's kind of interesting.
Well, you know, what I love about it is just you normally never hear theremins played in that way. You know, they're almost all the, you know, the horror movies and those other world sounds.
Yeah.
And this was the first time I heard someone just do a ballad, you know, and I thought he did a great job with it. And for a while, he was building his own theremins, and he stopped that a while ago. But it's like when I heard that, I was floored that it would sound, it came out like that. I'm like, oh, a theremin can do it. Well, nobody else does it with it. But,
I remember you played that a couple weeks ago, and I was going to comment on it, and I just got on to other things.
Right.
I was talking about Sears. I was working at Sears when all that happened, and with the catalog, and then they did some other things that were ridiculous. They got rid of almost all of their older long-term managers that really, you know, knew the products and knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They got rid of a lot of them and put younger people in there that, I'm not saying that young people don't know what they're doing, but they hadn't had the experience at Sears that, you know, that these other people had. And then they also decided to get rid of most of their sales, their floor people.
Oh, yeah.
So I was constantly getting calls because I was, for people that don't know, I was the operator.
Right.
And so I was always getting calls. We can't find anyone to help us in shoes. There's nobody in women's dresses, you know. And there's, you know, so I was constantly calling the managers of those departments and telling them, you know, that there weren't any people there. And they also, when they still had the catalog, they started getting rid of their customer service people for the catalogs too. And so they still had some people at the counter, and they were kind of in my department. They were in the front, and I was in the little operator thing in the back. And so they would direct people to go to this phone, and it would, they'd pick it up, and it would put them through to corporate or Sears in Chicago or, you know, some other place, not them. And this woman came up to me, and, you know, she was crying, and she said, you know, they used to help me with all this, and now I got to call this stupid number, and I got to press this, and I got to press that. And this was long before that was standard procedure.
Right.
And she was just really, really upset, and so I called one of the customer service people that I knew would have a little more compassion. You know, I said, can you please, you know, because I said, I really don't know anything else you can do. Let me see if I can get somebody to help you. And so I got her, and you know, she helped her pay her bill like they always did.
Right.
But they were told to call this number, and then they didn't have a lot of the floor staff, so people were frustrated with that. They got rid of a lot of the old managers, and the new ones didn't necessarily know what they were doing. It was just a cluster all the way around. I mean, it was a mess. And, you know, we had so many complaints, and people would call about the catalog and say, like this one lady, she said, I'm a quadriplegic. And, you know, she said, and I don't live, you know, I live kind of in an out-of-the-way place, and I need that catalog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, usually I don't mention this to people, but, you know, I wanted to her to understand that I could empathize. And I said, well, you know, I know what you mean. I'm blind, and it's a little hard for me to get places. I have it a little better than you do, but, you know, I understand how you feel. But it was a mess. It was just a real mess all the way around. And, of course, then I had to move because my ex-husband's job was moved. And so I tried to get a job at Sears and Salinas, and they kept putting me off, and they were trying to get somebody to come in and analyze what I would need for the job, and they never did it. And then by the time they you know, then it was my 6 months, because they had, you could be a Sears employee for 6 months. They could transfer you. And right after the 6 months, they are just about at the 6 month level or time period, they finally got somebody in. But by the time they did, then they didn't have to hire me.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, people were telling me, well, you should sue them, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I'm going to go and try to get some computer skills and
do something
like
else.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's not worth it for, I was a part-time job. I was only getting $5 or $6 an hour, and they tried everything they could to keep me from getting health benefits. You had to work there for a year, and you had to work so many hours. So I noticed all of a sudden my hours started decreasing. I thought, what's going on here? And because there was this one guy that never wanted to work Sundays, and I was happy to work Sundays because I got the full day. I got time and a half for Sunday, and I got the full 8 hours instead of just my usual five. And so my hours were creeping up towards that, and they finally had to give it to me. But, you know, like they tried not to. But anyway... So that was my experience with Sears.
You know, I still, by the way, I still have a sweater from Junior Bazaar. I got it in 1964, and I still wear it. So,
oh, wow. Yeah,
I love Junior Bazaar. I have one older from Bert Ines, but anyway. But, yeah, my Sears Junior Bazaar gray sweater, I wear it regularly. In any event, I remember years ago at the NAB, there was some talking head up there talking about, you know, line extensions and how things that are known for, brands that are known for things, you know, needs to step carefully if they're going to go into something else, right? And so, as an example, he said, for instance... And by the way, I was wearing, I thought it was a very nice dress. It was purple, actually, and it was form-fitting, to say the least, and kind of short, and I liked it. And so anyway, he said, for instance, nobody would think about buying clothes at Sears. Women wouldn't buy a dress there. And I just stood up. I said, excuse me, my dress came from Sears. And
yeah. Well, you know, I bought stuff from Sears, but when I worked there, of course, I got a discount.
Right, so, exactly.
You know, I got a lot of my
exactly
I got a lot of my clothes from Sears, and they had a pretty nice, full-figured women's department.
Yeah, well, and Junior Bazaar was great too, because I'm at the other end of that spectrum. You know, I want a one.
Yeah, right.
And you know, they always did, and I was buying clothes at Sears probably until the mid '90s, maybe. So yeah, and but it wasn't what you thought about, clearly, and it wasn't what they were promoting. But yes, it's just so sad how that fell apart.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I was listening to the other guy's call, and it was true. I mean, you'd get the catalog, and then kids would use it. Like my friends and I, some of the neighborhood kids would use it to, you know, figure out how, if we ever got our own house, how we'd want to furnish it.
Yeah.
And cut out like they'd give us a catalog and she could cut out, my friend could cut out some of the things, and she'd tell me about, oh, I want that, you know. We'd cut out stuff and make our own, you know, house wish list almost, but we'd cut them out and make, she'd help me make the collages out of them. So it was kind of fun.
You know, it's before my time, hard to believe anything is, but it is. But the fact they used to sell houses, I found that just captivating when I look at some of those catalogs from the 30s, where you could buy an entire house from Sears.
I've heard about that. That's amazing, and I hear there are still some of those existing.
Well, from what I understand, they're pretty damn good houses. They call them Craftsmen because the quality was good,
right,
and all that. And it was just really neat stuff. But obviously, that's long gone. But yeah. Somewhere there should be, you know, like there are marketing museums or whatever. There should be a marketing, level of hell. You know, mistakes that have just gone tremendously awry. Would be great.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that Toys R Us thing.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
And then you say to yourself, who is the executive at Toys R Us who thinks that you will, to children, send figures that include bags of cash and meth? No. What mother is going to say, sure, honey, that's fine? No.
I want my child to grow up to be a meth dealer.
Right, okay. Exactly. I can't imagine. So there
oh
you are.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Yeah.
And you were talking last night about the Supremes and the Marvelettes.
Yes.
And I wonder, because I don't know if you mentioned all this before and I missed it, but what happened? I mean, I would choose the Marvelettes over the Supremes any day. I mean, I love the Marvelettes and the Supremes. They did some stuff I liked, but after a while, it was just all kind of sounded the same to me.
Well, you know what it was, unfortunately. It was Berry Gordy and his fascination for, of course, Diane.
That's right. They did have a thing going on. Yeah.
Right. And the other thing along with that, Diane, who became Diana, when she started out, she was Diane, and I still have interviews with her on that. But anyway, it was interesting because he thought that she and therefore for the other two were embodying that polished, glamorous style that would give him that crossover success. And of course, you know, that was his goal from day one. There really were two different Motowns, as you know. The Motown I loved, which was absolutely hardcore soul label and gospel.
Right.
And the crossover. And we understand that you get to general market. Those are the big bucks. And so, and I don't blame him. And he thought that the Supremes had better crossover potential. But the reality is that it was Maxine Powell who groomed them, and they easily could have groomed the Marvelettes. But I think, in deference to Diana, they had the Marvelettes adopt a more subdued look, while the Supremes were, all frills and fuss. And so initially what was really sad is that while the Marvelettes were doing very well, and of course they were the group that had the first number one record on Motown, absolutely, but the Supremes couldn't get arrested. In fact, in-house they called them the no-hit Supremes. And Gordy was like, nope. Diana has the voice and the charisma. This is my global star. And now, one of the things that the Marvelettes did wrong was Holland Dozier Holland, who were in-house writing team, as you know, gave them Where Did Our Love Go? And the Marvelettes passed on it. And it became,
I could hear them doing that. They do a great job.
Oh, I know.
They did it.
I know. Yeah. Gladys Horton on lead, of course. But they gave it to the Supremes, and that was their real breakout record. So, they passed on it. And I'm sure Berry Gordy was perfectly fine with that. They weren't convinced to do it. Instead, they turned around and gave it to the Supremes. But, you know, over the years, and it wasn't a secret, Gladys Horton was interviewed, and Wanda Young was as well, where they said, we were never really respected. We worked for a label that was fixated on making the Supremes the marquee act. And that's probably true in many ways. And it's real sad all the way around. Because I loved the Marvelettes and their sound, absolutely. Oh. And they were the first, and without them, there would have, you know, there was no number one record until them. So that was the deal. But, you know, the sound of Young America had to be Diana Ross. So you have it.
Yeah, unfortunately. I just never thought that she was much to write. There are a couple of songs in their early career that I like that... I can't remember the name of it now, but that I had requested one time, and I was surprised to find out it was them because I liked it so much. But I never cared for the Supremes all that much, and the Marvelettes, I just...
Well, a lot of the Marvelette stuff was Smokey, who I loved his writing style, where most of the Supreme stuff was Holland, Dozier, Holland. So it's a different it's a different sound as far as that's concerned. So, but you know, like when I play things like La Brenda Benn, you know, I think The Chaperone's a terrific record, and or of course Poor Linda Griner. There was a lot of stuff that Motown did that were woulda, coulda, shouldas.
Right. Oh, yeah, that song you played last night, that was really good.
Oh, yeah, and that was really in their gospel style. You know, there's that call and response, and then when she lets loose with, Mama, it's just like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the deal, but sure. And, of course, it worked out fine for Berry Gordy, but I too, wish the Marvelettes had more. And there were others, you know, the Velvelettes could have been developed, and a lot more. But, you know, there it was. And, of course, what happened with Mary Wells was just horrifying, but, you know.
Yeah, I just got a book that I'm going to read about her. And so I'll find out all about
that.
Oh,
you will. And her husband, Herman, Herman Griffin, who had recorded some stuff for them too, was, I think, kind of egging her on to get out of Dodge. But the way she left was horrible because she lost her rights. You know, she lost all the royalties.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. And some of her later stuff was good. You know, some of that Atlantic stuff was good. But, yeah, I would have tried to find... I would have, if I were there, tried to find another way to stay, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of the Marvelettes, could you play The Hunter Gets Captured by the Game?
I would love to do that. It'll come up next. All right, thanks.
Okay, great.
Okay, good deal. Thanks for calling. And we'll pick it up after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Every day things change, and the world puts on a new face. Certain things we arrange, and this old world seems like a new. I was after, but I looked up and I
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The Marvelettes, indeed. The Hunter gets captured by the game. Smokey Robinson wrote it and produced it, and it was a fine song. Glad a friend requested it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Carl is in Chicago. What's up, Carl?
How are you? I was kind of faded out there.
Oh, well,
anyways,
good.
You guys were talking about the catalog,
yeah.
Yeah, we had a mishap a couple of years ago, and believe it or not, I had the Sears, the Montgomery Wards, and the JCPenney catalogs.
Yeah.
They were in plastics, and I was keeping them, but they got destroyed. There was a fire, so once the firemen get in there, it's over.
Well, yeah, the water, forget about it. Oh, man.
A lot of things that were fun back in the day, a lot of people don't know what JCPenney stands for.
I used to
trivia the people at the cash register about that, and they would just stare at me. I was like, it's
really?
John Cash Penny.
Right, right.
They don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
And of course, those of us who tried to make it sound good say, it's a Jean-Claude Penny.
Well, the other thing I would do, they would give you the new credit card with the magnetic stripe. And if you remember the brown JCPenney card?
It
didn't have a magnetic stripe.
Well, I remember the charge plates. It was metal.
Yeah, and I would give it to them. They'd stare at it, and they go, sir, what's this? I go, that's a credit card.
Yeah.
It's just funny. They didn't know what to do with it.
Right, right.
Only some people would go, wow, this is a true customer. This is from, eons ago.
Right, yeah,
anyway,
absolutely.
Anyway, something I thought would be kind of interesting, and if anyone's listening, you're not going to believe this. When did Montgomery Wards go under, roughly? Like 20 years ago or something like that?
It's more than that.
Okay, all right, listen to this.
I think so.
My parents were in the tenements, and we used to buy HUD homes and fix them up and sell them, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Whenever there was a sale on hot water tanks at Montgomery Ward, my dad would send me and my brother to go buy like 4 or 6 of them at a pop.
All right.
Okay, now back then, a 40-gallon hot water tank was about $157.
Nice.
Okay. All right, now here's the fun part. I was at a party for the 4th of July, and we were just having a good time. We were playing, I don't know if you know about this game, we were playing a game. It was called Cheers to the Governor, drinking game.
Okay.
Okay, anyways. Well, this one guy brings up that he bought a new home, one of these modern things, and the stuff's breaking down in it. And one of the guys turns around and says, well, Carl was in all that, and hey, where would you send him to start, get it fixed? And I know people, So he said, well, what do you have in your house? And I turned around and I said, what, my tanks? And he goes, yeah. And I was there. I said, I've got tanks from Montgomery Ward. They all were just like, some people were like, who? What? And the guy says, you're kidding me, right? Like, no. And to this day, they're still in there. There's two of them in this house that have been eating the water forever. I love them. I hope I don't jinx myself.
Yeah, I hope you don't too. But I think they went out like at the end of 2000. They didn't make it to 2001. But remember, here's the thing. They tried to relaunch that catalog online only, and that that didn't work. That didn't work very well.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
Well, these companies. I'm a 66 baby, and I don't know how to get it into their head. Most of the people that have money are the older people who save their money.
Right.
And they're just stubborn. They've done it to me. They're like, well, sir, go to WW. I said, I don't have a system in my house. And no, I don't know if anyone has a computer. And no, I'm not going to go to the library. Don't you have like a booklet you can send me or something? And they don't.
Right.
It's either you get on a computer or, see you later. And they're losing most of their customers that way.
What's really sad is that, it's a carrot and a stick. And one of the carrots is just give us your cell phone number and you'll get these discounts. Well, I don't use cell phones, period. I can't see them. I don't want them. And so, of course, if I give them a phone number, there's no SMS associated with it. Like if people are calling this show, they better be phoning because if they're texting, I'm not going to see it as far as that goes. But the amount of people where you better have especially banking now, you'd better have that texting capability because they think that it's safer. And I just laugh when I see that, saying this is not safer. But they're demanding that for 2FA. And I'm like, absolutely not. I don't
know. No, you got to be able to stand your ground. And, I'm with Chase P. Morgan and their latest. I started laughing. I said, man, these people just don't quit.
Right.
Now what they want you to do is call in. They have this voice recognition thing.
Yes.
And I keep telling people, use your head. You know, you don't do that. What I do is I push a button and it sends me to the next thing. And you hear the, I guess you want to call it the artificial intelligence person. Says, okay, can you please repeat your address again? You know, and I push the button again. And it says, thanks, we've got it. You know, it makes me laugh. But my idea with that is that if they're recording your voice, well, then someone has access to your vocal cords.
Well, of course they do.
You don't want to hear someday that they use your sounds to, you know, activate something or...
Absolutely.
So I don't use that.
No, I won't either.
I'm like, I've gotten enough with my codes, and then it kills me when they're like, everything, when you call in, you're like, it's being recorded, possible for training, this and that.
Right.
So I'm like, well, this is being recorded. You want my birth date, my social security number? I'm like, are you crazy?
Exactly.
You know? So you got to know how to loop around that. You know, it's just, no, and I don't know.
You know,
I guess I'm turning the old-fashioned guy, but I just believe in the old ways are the right ways. Things work simpler. Everybody seems happier. And
now
there's just so much people going through back doors to break into things, you know, your accounts.
Of course.
Chase Bank themselves got broken into by some kid in Russia.
I think
he was 15 or something. I don't know if you know that story.
Yes.
Like 8, 9 years ago.
Yes, absolutely aware.
But anyways, back to the old stuff. Do you remember the Sears credit card?
Oh, sure.
Meaning, if you had a Sears credit card, you were like royalty.
It was
just so hard to get one.
Not only did I have the card, but you were denied the card.
I don't know if everybody remembers that.
But
they were little. They weren't the same size as the rest of the
card. No, they were charger plates. But they also had a little thing.
I remember from years ago. I just thought it'd be fun to talk about. I still have these Montgomery Ward water tanks in my house, and they're working just fine so far, perfectly.
That's terrific, yes.
No, anyways, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much
for taking my call. Glad you did. Do it again. All right. How nice. Appreciate that. Yeah, I remember the Sears charger plates. And once a year, they'd send you, I thought they sent it to everybody, and I found out that they didn't. They send you this little decal SBC, Sears Best Customer. And, you know, it's because I'd move so often, I'd buy refrigerators and washer dryers and then just sell them and move. And so, yes, I was a Sears Best Customer. So, yeah, I remember it well. But I think that the AI prompts, and everybody's been sold a bill of good on those at this point. It would be horrible to be a customer service rep today, because by the time the customer gets to you, they've already been through 34 AI prompts and they are fit to be tied. They are ready to come through the phone and eat you. And, you know, I mean, I might start out feeling very peaceful and calm. And by the time I go through one of these series of menus, after about 10 minutes, I'm ready to eat them. And, yeah, I can't imagine having that job. Of course, as I say that, they're hiring less customer service reps anyway because they rely on AI. So it's a vicious circle all the way around. We'll get to Ken in Chicago and Mike in Elmwood Park. James on the south side. And we got Cindy in Chicago. In fact, I got a request of hers to play next. And Cleveland Dennis right here on WGN Radio.
Raindrops, so many raindrops, it feels like raindrops falling from my eyes, falling from my eyes. Since my love has left me, I'm so all alone. I would bring her back to me, but I don't know where she's gone. I don't know where she's gone. There must be a cloud in my head. Rain keeps falling from my eyes. Oh no, it can't be teardrops, for a man ain't supposed to cry. So it must be raindrops. So many raindrops.
It feels like raindrops falling from my eyes, falling from my eyes.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. D. Clark, 1961 on VJ. They recorded that at Universal, and actually it is Phil Upchurch on acoustic guitar. Not that you hear him that much in that, but nonetheless. And that was Cindy's request. So, Cindy, there you go. You heard it. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Am I on?
Yeah, that would be you.
Okay, well, I heard an analysis. I can't remember where. It could have been partly Jack Hugh or Ho from Barron's that wrote about it. And maybe the night of the Noon Business Report on WBBM. But anyhow, they just pretty much analyzed whatever they got a different CEO for Sears, but he never turned it around.
Right, that was later. Yep.
And then they kind of analyzed that he was cold and calculated and kind of made a self-appointed umbrella policy for himself,
yeah,
and was kind of like letting the company go where he took all the money.
Yeah, all this is later though, Cindy. And as you know, Sears and Kmart merged in 2005, and then you got even more horror stories.
Yeah, and then he didn't pay the workers any kind of package.
Yeah,
but you know, I had Dr. Pacetti at Sears at Golf Mill, and he did about $50,000 worth of dental work on me. And then I got insurance later, and half was paid, you know, half got paid. And then the Sears at North Avenue, I'm really sitting pretty because I bought up a lot of the gold that was gold rings, 14 karat gold rings that were 90% off.
All right.
At that Sears. But I have a bunch of other things to say too. Remember Payless Shoes?
Of course.
Yeah, that company was a good, solvent company, but I don't know what they called it.
They're still around.
Not in Chicago.
Well, I can't help that, but believe me, they are absolutely around. I think they have 700 stores outside of North America. What they have in this country, I don't know, but Payless is absolutely still around.
Oh, not yeah, but the corporate raider came in, took all the money out to pay dividends to the, I think someone made it a private company and took all the money to pay dividends.
Absolutely, and that was a 7-year period, and unfortunately, and that's been written about, you know, stories like how private equity buried Payless and all that. It's widely known, but that's unfortunately not unusual.
And then JCPenney. I was a big shopper at JCPenney when I worked in office work for dresses.
Uh-huh.
And really nice dresses there.
Absolutely. I shopped there. You betcha.
And then partly what happened, I think when it started to go down, was when you started to have to pay for, I mean, if you had a credit card, which I did, a high limit.
Right.
Where they would just send you the catalog, and then you had to buy it in the store, and that's kind of what started the store going down.
Well,
yeah,
you know, it had filed a Chapter 11 as well, and then there again, private money came in, and it changed things somewhat, to say the least. So it's sadly an all-too-familiar story, and so they've been downsizing their footprint, but, you know, they've still got, I don't know, over 600 locations in the U.S.
Yeah, I have. Maybe I'll go out there this weekend for the one in what is this? Woodfield. You know, just take a ride. And then water, you know, my 21st, remember Ken Lay and Skilling with Enron?
Of course.
Yeah, that was. I read my boyfriend, he didn't do much reading. He couldn't learn from a book. He was like visual and a union carpenter. But then anyhow, he did give me a book about the culture of Enron.
Yeah,
I was like,
absolutely.
It was just frightening.
Not unusual, though, unfortunately.
And then Enron and what else? And then I read in, I think it was in either Barron's this weekend or this week. Yes, was it yesterday? Or the Financial Times that Exelon Company, parent company that owns Pep Boys and ComEd, because of AI, what is it, AI, I can't remember, AI centers, that they need all the power, there's going to be rolling blackouts, and they're estimating 400,000 customers will be, rolling blackouts.
Well, we'll see. And yeah, that's Carl Icahn, who bought Pep Boys and others as well. Yeah, we talk about this often. The consolidation is truly frightening, and the lack of actual capital versus funny money and loans and all that kind of stuff is horrifying. Will there eventually be paying the piper? Yes. At what point? I don't know.
But then the thing with the thing with Enron, I was afraid it was going to come to Illinois. You know, with you know what went on.
Well, Cindy, you're afraid of everything. We know that.
You know, I read this stuff in the business news and get
stop reading it. Yes, stop reading it. You will be much happier and healthier.
I don't get as frightened anymore. I
glad
just
to
read
hear it.
It.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm thinking, is this going to happen here? Maybe on our condo, we need to get a generator.
Well, it certainly never hurts to have generators as far as that goes.
When I was on the show, somebody did get a full house generator.
Well, we swear by them. We've got them everywhere. So, you know, I'm for them, but I'm not because I think that the power company is going to implode.
No, but, you know, as far as I've invested in ComEd, you know, for the dividends. But, you know, those companies can go bankrupt just as well.
Oh, of course they can. And yeah, just because you pay a dividend doesn't mean you can't go belly up, obviously.
You know, they're supposed to be such, good for orphan and widow and all. And then I just wanted to say, does anyone ever watch the reruns of Dick Cavett's show? He was a class act.
Oh, yeah. The one I wanted to see has never been televised. It's in the can, but they wouldn't air it. And that was when Rodale was on. The guy who had said, Rodale Publishing and all that stuff out of Pennsylvania, the guy had said he found the secret to pretty much everlasting life, that he was going to live forever. And during the commercial break, he died. And they didn't air the episode. And I really wish they had aired that Rodale, because it's in the can. Someone's got that.
Well, he had, he had so many of these old stars, from movies I saw, the old stars and people who just were like real people, like Groucho Marx. And,
well, of course.
You know, and just all these people. And he was, and I read his biography, but I don't remember all, I think he was like from...
Well, you've ended the hour, and we'll talk to you soon and pick up Dick Cavett's life story, sad though that it is, next time. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so we have another hour to talk right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, what you gonna do? You gonna get down? Tell me, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get out? What you gonna do?
You wanna get out? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get out? Tell me.
Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it.
Come on in.
Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it.
How you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall. By standing on the wall,
get your back up off the wall.
'Cause I heard all the people saying,
get down on it,
come on in,
get down on it.
If you really want it,
get down on it.
You gotta feel it,
get down on it.
Get down on it,
get down on it.
Come on in,
get down on it.
Baby, baby,
get down on it.
Get on it. By standing on the wall,
get your back up off the wall.
'Cause I heard all the people saying,
get down on it, get down on it, get down on it, get down on it.
When you're dancing,
get down on it, get down on it, get down on it, get down on it.
Sha-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-doo.
What you gonna do? Do you wanna get down?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Get down on it. Cool and the Gang, 1981, on D-Light. That was actually the biggest act on D-Light, period, a little label found in 67 that really got its footing in disco and soul in the 70s. And then Pickwick International took over the distribution. Yeah, we don't even want to think about that. But in 1981, Cool and the Gang had it going on. And that was for Lisa and Joliet and Bruno. Woof. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Ken is in Chicago. All right, Ken, what's up tonight?
Before I start talking about the Sears, just said on the news we had an earthquake out in Lake Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, second one in 100 years.
Wow.
It was just north of Chicago, 13 miles off the shore. 3 miles down. It was
wow.
Just a small one. And so, and the people lived on the North Shore did feel it.
So more like a tremor, right? Something under 3 on the Richter scale?
They didn't say this, but people did feel it. And it was
how about that?
Only the second one in 200 years.
We've had a lot of them lately, haven't we? Just all over the place. Going to be interesting
tomorrow. Cindy and I are going to go scuba diving right there to see if we could find, if there's a hole down there.
Yeah. So while we're at it, I had to look up what was the highest wave ever recorded on Lake Michigan. And believe it or not, 23 feet.
23 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So... I guess with that in mind, a little tremor is not a big issue, but that is interesting. And yeah, I've been noting there's certainly a lot of them lately.
Yeah, I remember one when I was younger. It was in Chicago, and I felt like I was getting dizzy. I was slightly swaying.
Oh, geez.
We had an earthquake. Yeah, for the first time. Yeah.
Well,
anyways, back to the Sears catalog, I tell you. Sears at Christmas store at Christmas time was magical.
Yes.
The Sears catalog, the Wish Book.
Yes. Especially if you're a kid. Yeah, if you're a kid, it doesn't get better than that.
And what's great about the catalogs, all the stuff in the catalog was not on display at the stores.
Mm-hmm.
You had to order it, and then you go to the back of the parking lot where I was, and you pick that up.
Right.
You pick up your thing there. And what was nice about it, the number one thing you go to Sears for is their tools, craftsmen.
Oh, it's true, and I miss them.
I still got my dad's from the 50s and 60s. It's still brand new.
Yeah.
Until he moved to China.
Yeah, it's terrible now. It's absolutely terrible. Yeah, only Stanley Black and Decker, and that might as well be China, too. It's just very upsetting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you go into any hardware store, you'll see in small print.
Yeah.
Made in China.
That's
or
right.
Made with global parts.
Right. Right, exactly.
And also the appliance, Kenmore appliances. If you buy anything, they had trucks that would come out and fix it.
Right.
Kenmore appliance. And for work clothes and shoes with Sears, it was just a magical place growing up in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah.
We just loved it.
We used to love the shoe department, and of course they did away with this, but they used to have fluoroscopes. Do you remember that? You'd go and they'd x-ray your feet. You could see how your feet felt in the shoes and looked in the shoes until they realized they were killing
just
people.
Just had the one where you measure your foot. You put your foot down and got that metal thing. Metal thing that measures it and the length.
Yeah, but absolutely. But originally it was fluoroscopes. Literally, you'd put on the shoe and then put your foot down on the fluoroscope and you'd get to see your foot in the shoe. And, I mean, we played with them.
Dad, I don't remember.
Yeah, we played with them for, they had to take them off the market. I think they were killing people. You know, so much radiation. But it's a wonder any of us were alive from the 50s because we all played on them.
Oh, I know. What I think killed it, those stores, Monkey Ward's, was probably the big box stores. Everybody buying stuff on the internet. Oh, and by the way, I don't know about out in Arizona, but a lot of the shopping malls are closing down.
Oh no, all over, and it's terrible. In fact, our biggest mall.
And I knew it was going to tear down.
Right,
the one that's closest by me.
Yeah,
it's empty. All you got is the mall walkers.
Right. I was talking about this today because it was 113 in the afternoon, and I had to pick something up at Rio Salado, any Tempe marketplace. All right, so fine. Uh-huh. And this is no longer an enclosed mall. It's an open-air concept, and that's where it is everywhere. And they have these, like, work-and-live complexes where they have, like, housing and they have stores and all this, but it's all outdoors. And I don't understand that the malls pretty much are all gone, not all of them, but a lot of them. The biggest one has been torn down completely, and that was just a heartbreaker. But I don't understand. This is a trend coast to coast. Now, unless you live in San Diego, there are several months of the year when it is not fun to be outside. Now, in Arizona, that would be the summer months. You know, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, that would be the winter months. But nowhere is it great 12 months a year. What is this trend toward open air everything? Or worse yet, those little downtown type things that they build where you have to park in some pod and then you walk these little streets? Absolutely not. I draw the line at that. I don't know what's wrong with people. At least with a mall, it's climate controlled. But no.
Now, when I went out to visit my sister out in Arizona, first thing I said to her, how come nobody's outside walking or riding their bike?
Because you'd die.
It's a dry heat.
No, right. Well, it's a dry heat when it's in the 90s. When it hits 120, it's no longer a dry heat. It's a medical emergency.
And she was right. She goes, people go from their air-conditioned house
to your air-conditioned car.
Air-conditioned car to their air-conditioned stores, which has not a door on it, but like you go through a blanket of cold air you go through.
Yeah, right. Or worse yet, and they all seem to have this here, it feels like it's raining on you. They have this mist, you know, guaranteed to screw up your hair no matter what. But it's coast to coast, and I don't understand why people don't want to be in malls anymore, because I like the idea that I can go in one door and it's going to be climate controlled throughout.
Yeah. I think all us baby boomers, we miss that.
We do.
And us poor people growing up, I miss, what do I miss? I miss Woolworths.
Sure.
We had a chain store called Goldblacks.
Oh, of course.
We couldn't shop at Carson's. We couldn't shop at Marshall Field on State Street. It was way too expensive. We had, people. Monkey Boards, but Sears at Christmas time.
Sure.
The book, the Sears Wish book as a kid. I want this one. I want to buy a train set and stuff like that. Now, I guess they, it's not. You can. I'm sure you can get all that on the internet.
You can.
It's not the same.
No,
it's not the same.
No, of course it's not.
The book.
That's absolutely right. I'm with you 1,000%.
Now, what places do have catalogs are targeted to seniors. Like Dr. Leonard.
Right. No, absolutely. And clothes for senior women and all that, of course. And, you know, the Land's End. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's one that we get. I'm trying to think what it is now, but John buys
Burpees.
Stuff from it all the time. Yeah, right. All the kinds of, yeah.
catalog are targeted right. for seniors.
Right.
Dr. Leonard's. You can get all the stuff for the senior, but that still comes out, publishers.
Right.
Now, there's a huge place called out here in Chicago called G.W. Granger.
Uh-huh, sure.
Every part.
Sure.
Granger's big. It's about a 3-inch catalog.
Yep, yep. Granger's is, yeah. I'll tell you what, though, Granger's is expensive.
Yeah, but sometimes you can get same-day delivery.
Well, that's absolutely true, but even so.
I worked in a high-rise building.
Yeah.
If you need the part right away, you know, whatever it was.
Absolutely, but most of the time, I'd rather wait. Not they've got everything, or they'll get everything, and they're all over the place, but, man, they're a little pricey.
Yeah. Like Home Depot was same-day delivery.
Well,
I never,
you know,
never cared for Home Depot.
Those big box stores aren't really hardware stores. You know, you can't, like
right.
the old-fashioned hardware stores where you get in and you've got this screw that nobody else has ever seen before. I need one. Okay, we've got one of those. You know, that kind of thing. You don't
Home Depot's were weekend warriors.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's not the same.
Yeah, I think the catalogs were always, I think it costs a lot to print. The glossy print.
It probably does.
It's like the telephone. We don't get telephone books anymore.
Well, nobody has telephone numbers anymore that are, you know, from the phone company.
And speak for yourself.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
So, you know, yeah.
They force, they go, yeah, you can still have a landline, but it's going to cost you $65 a month.
Well, plus long distance, and the truth is, and it's still not a landline.
Right. That's how they push you off of it.
Well,
and
the dirty secret is, yes, it's copper to your house, but before it gets to the central office, it's turned into VOIP.
Oh, that would be fiber optics?
Well, it's voice over internet protocol. It's just a different way to do it. And Verizon got in trouble years ago because one of their techs told a woman in Philadelphia that it would be VOIP, and they fired the guy. And the unions basically got his job back, thank God. But the reality is now, with the Supreme Court decision, phone companies no longer have to provide landline service anywhere.
Yeah.
So they'll all
well,
do, they'll
you
all
and
do
I
that.
Are a bunch of Luddites.
Yes, and I'm a proud Luddite
I'm
myself.
I'm proud of it. Yes. That's what I said.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yes.
Old fuddy duddy. Of course I am.
That's yeah. right. Whenever whenever I'm at the doctor and they ask for birth date, I always say fossil, and you know because it's absolutely the truth. So yes, I'm a proud fossil.
I usually say Precambrian. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, good to talk to you, Ken. Thank you for calling and thank you for waiting.
All right.
Appreciate
take
it.
Care.
All right.
Bye.
So we'll get to Mike and Rock. Oh, I'm going to talk to Rock, to Ralph and James on the South Side and the stories. Cleveland Dennis, WBIG. Which one? All right. Are we talking D.C. or are we talking old Chicago? Either way. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
What a night to love you, dear. Oh, what a night to hold you near. Oh, what a night to squeeze you, dear. That's why I love you so. Oh, what a night.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. That's the original Oh What a Night, the Dells, 1956 on VJ. And on that one, they spelled Night, N-I-T-E, as opposed to the 1969 remake on Cadet, where they spelled it N-I-G-H-T. But the original, man, that is the best, as far as I'm concerned. Johnny Carter's falsetto, Marvin Jr.'s baritone. How can you not love this? And Marvin and Johnny Funches wrote that, and it was just terrific. But what happened was John said, I got a request. There's only one I want to hear. I want to hear Oh What a Night. I heard it on Smokey Soul Town on XMI. Okay. And I'm sure that what he heard was the Cadet version, just positive. But I thought, man, if I'm going to play it, I'm playing the original. And of course, it was the remake that really catapulted them on the charts. Number 10 on the Hot 100, number 1 on the R&B charts, and very different sound, to say the least. But man, the original's still the greatest as far as I'm concerned. On that remake, though, Chuck Barksdale definitely more audible on that. And so there you have it. All right. So I like the original. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Cleveland Dennis, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah. Hi, Raleigh. I kind of responding to a few things. Somebody was talking yesterday about WRMN or WBIG.
Right.
WBIG and WRMN here in Elgin, 1410 AM, were owned by a guy. I think originally it was one guy for many years, and then another fellow had it for a few years. Didn't do much with it, and then he sold it. But WBIG became something else. WRMN is still functioning. They're mostly about 50% Fox Sports.
Yeah.
After 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. And you also mentioned that Bruce Drennan used to be on WBAG. I used to listen to him in Cleveland when I was there.
Uh-huh.
And I still listen to him on the Cleveland sports station to this day. I think he's still on Saturdays. But anyhow, I want to mention about, or have a comment about, the Sears Craftsman homes. There's about 200 of them right here in Elgin.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know there was some talk about it shortly, a little while ago, and I just thought I'd mention that. But you guys are talking about Sears and so forth. I used to have one of their cards, you know.
Right.
You called it something different, not a card, but a plate, I guess.
Yeah, originally they were charge plates. That's the way it was for all the, and they were not credit because you had to pay in full at the end of the month. But it was a little metal card that had your name and address on it. They were charge plates, and all the department stores had them.
Yeah, I had one from Federal in Cleveland. Yeah. Anyhow, I want to make a request today. I heard a Connie Francis song that I never heard before called My Real Happiness.
Oh, absolutely. That was a hit.
Yeah, well, for whatever reason, I never quite remember that one, but, you know, if you could get that on someday
I think the title is just My Happiness.
Okay, it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I heard it, and somebody I know that really likes Connie Francis, I turned them on to it, but anyhow, you know, I got a quick story about
Okay, you got to hold on because we're in the news. Don't go away.
Evening shadows made me blue. When each weary day is through, how I long to be with you. My happiness. Every day I reminisce, dreaming of your tender kiss, always thinking how I miss my. A million years it seems.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, the definitive hit version of My Happiness, Connie Francis, 1958 MGM, and it's worse than I remembered. Over 150 people have recorded this song. It was a hit in 1948 for John and Sandra Steele. You don't want to hear their versions. But what's interesting about this is the wide variety of people who have recorded this, from Gail Storm to Fats Domino to Jim Reeves and Kitty Wells a couple times, Pat Boone, and you know, the list is a voluminous. Paul and Paula, oh my good God, you don't want to hear that version. Skeeter Davis, ditto. Yeah, Hank Locklin, right, Hugh X. Lewis, more people than you can think, Johnny and Jenny Mosby, yeah, the Wilburn Brothers, and on the list goes. So, yeah, over 150 people recorded the Elvis. Now, interestingly, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, too, they didn't release that until both of them were dead. All right, no, they didn't record it together. They were separate instances, but they were posthumous releases. All right, so that's what Cleveland Dennis wanted to hear for reasons I can't fathom. So there you go.
Are you still here?
Yes, you are. And you were saying?
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm looking for my real happiness. It's a completely different song by Connie Francis, and it's not any of them done by Hugh Lex Lewis, who I saw today on New Orleans movie with Billie Holiday and Satchmo. Anyhow, no, there is another song called My Real Happiness by Connie Francis, rather upbeat. And I think it's from the early 60s, but if you can get that on sometime.
Yeah, that's, I do remember that. It's an album cut. It was nothing that was ever out as a 45.
Right. Well, yeah. It could be. I heard it, and I liked it, and I'm making the request. But all I wanted to mention about Montgomery Ward. You talk about Sears and all these department stores. I had a guy that was my agent from Brazil, and he would want to come and do sales calls, and we would go around. Not to Sears so much, but Montgomery Ward, who he worked for down in Brazil, developing the shoe market, because there were a lot of shoe manufacturers down in southern Brazil,
sure.
Novo Hamburgo, and so forth. And it was interesting. It was the early 90s, and it was things were about to change because of the advent of the Internet, and he always told me, in a few years, the Chinese will be making all the shoes, and sure enough, that happened. But we would go down to see Florsheim in the middle of Missouri.
Yeah.
Had the opportunity to go down there right after the flood, where the Mississippi flooded in the early 90s, and it was quite a washout. Anyhow, it was just exciting because we also called on the Florsheim shoe operation in downtown Chicago by the train station and the bus station and all that, and just an interesting situation overall. But I want to go back, and you were also talking about, or somebody called in about Eric Burdon, around 2012 or 14, somewhere in there, he was appearing out in the western suburbs here. He was at some bar.
Yeah.
And he was featured there.
Yeah.
And one of my daughters owned a house nearby, and I went over her place for a while. I fell asleep and never made it to see him.
Oh, man.
I walk over there where it's about a block away.
Oh, wow.
But when I went to try to look it up to see where he played, somehow AI told me, oh, he played with Joan Jett at Festival Park, which is downtown Elgin.
Yeah.
I was at that concert with Joan Jett. I never saw Eric Burdon there. Anyhow, AI is not everything anyone thinks it
no.
could be.
It's good at some things, but I'll tell you, I think it's hilarious when you ask it questions about R&B oldies. The kind of things it comes up with are truly a howl. Now, on the other hand, if you're wondering how to do something with a computer program or something like that, it's usually pretty damn good. But for any of our stuff, forget about it. And
I agree. I never really delved into AI for R&B stuff, but I use it technically for Hazardous Cargo, and it seems to give me
what I need to read.
Exactly. No,
anyhow,
there are things it does well, and that's, you know, R&B is not one of them, but oldies as far as that goes. But I will, I remember that, My Real Happiness, because it was on that horrible album, Do the Twist. So I'm going to play it just because it's been a long time. Oh, yeah, that album was just full of stuff you don't want to hear, but we'll both hear My Real Happiness, and you'll get to hear it again.
That'll be fine. That's all I got.
Okay,
thanks for your time.
All right, appreciate it. All right, why wait for a bumper? Let's see what this. Yeah, do the twist. It was unfortunately, yes, I've got it, but yeah.
They say a banker gets a thrill from $1 million bill, but money's something I don't miss. I'd rather have someone to kiss.
Then yes, Do the Twist, and actually Eddie Curtis wrote that. And if you're saying, who is Eddie Curtis? Well, you ever heard The Joker by Steve Miller? Well, he wrote that with Steve and Ahmet Erdogan, and there's a guy from Galveston, and that was a number one song, but not his only number one. He did a number of things, stuff for the Clovers and all that. In fact, Lovey Dovey was Eddie Curtis, and some of the Don Cherry stuff, and you know, some of the Connie Francis stuff, like you. Actually, one of the first, well, I won't say one of the first, but earlier in his career anyway, Louis Jordan recorded Hardhead, which was a Eddie Curtis song. So that's the deal on Eddie Curtis and My Real Happiness. And yeah, and if for some reason you liked it, you might like other things on Do the Twist. I don't know. 888-876-5593. Let's see what Ralph in Rockford has to say for his bad self. Hello, Ralph. What's up?
Well, what's up? Welcome to the Connie Francis Hour.
Oh, God help us.
Well, I mean, that's what it sounded like here in the last 10 minutes. And I tell you one thing, Connie Francis, she was quite a star in Germany as well.
Everywhere. She was international. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, she was. I remember I was a very, very young boy in 1961, and I had a friend. I was visiting my grandmother and in Westphalia, and so he had a kiosk, and he knew that I must like music, and he says, come on in, Ralph, you know, I got a beautiful song for you here, and he played Connie Francis.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't know, of course, at that time I was only a few, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. And, I just didn't know who Connie Francis was, but I never will forget that. And later on, of course, Connie Francis had, for example, I think one of her biggest hits was Lipstick on Your Collar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Told the Tale on You. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, right. Well, fortunately, Fortunately, I never was married, so I'm still waiting for that. That my wife sings that for me, you know.
Yeah, there you have it.
Yeah.
So, I understand we have some terrible news from Rockford.
Well, the terrible news that I don't know. Yeah, you might be right. That's one reason I called you. Well, first, I want to thank you for this evening. It was very interesting, especially when you talked about some of the internats, about the Supremes and the and the others, you know. So that was very interesting. I always get a big kick out of here lately because I have a lot of black friends, you know, and they all like me because I know so much about black music. And when I mentioned the name Berry Gordy, you know what they tell me? Oh, he's long dead. He's gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's obviously not, but there are many people who felt he was running a plantation, and I understand why they thought that.
Oh, well, yeah, but you know, it was very funny. But nevertheless, I I somewhat admired Barry Gordy because he really supposedly started in 68 with Motown from $800 from his parents. They had a
It's true. Right. His story is well known. Now let's get on to Beefaroo. I'm very upset about this.
Yeah, Beefaroo. Yeah, that's what one of the reasons I called you. And I know because you know so much about Beefaroo, much more than I know about it. I just know that they were on South Alpine with one store.
With one store. But the best one was in Loves Park with the 50s theme. It was a 50s diner. And, oh, man, I loved Beefaroo. This is terrible. Yeah, and so they're gone, and they're actively working to secure enough money to remain to pay the rest of their payroll people. And so literally that's the deal. I don't think there's a chance that they're reorganizing and coming back. This is it.
Well, there's a lot of hanky-panky going on, and they're constantly, I mean, it made the front paper news here in the, you know, Stateline area.
What's the hanky-panky? Yeah. What's going on?
Well, the hanky-panky is because there are apparently two companies that fight for the right, and they always mention Texas. You know, one company from Texas, and they say we are coming back, you know, and then, you know, that's back and forth. I mean, I cannot make any sense of it, but I'm sure you can.
Well, I know there's corporate restructuring, to say the least. Obviously, it started in 67. That was the DeBruyler family and Gene Vitale. Yeah. That was local. And I guess they were acquired, you know, like we were talking before about vulture capital, as I like to call it. Elysian Capital had them, and they were selling it to Hungary, and that's your Texas connection is Hungary.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
But there were problems with that, and then the other thing is they decided they were going to franchise it, and that's when they brought Next Brands in, and they had locally owned Exceptions, Freeport, things like that. So there were it was a cluster, to say the least. That's a technical term for it. Yes. Anyway, not pretty, but this is it. I don't see this coming back, and it's really sad for Gene Vitale and the DeBruyler family.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, apparently, and I think the front of the paper made this store in Love Park, like I said, but they said it was in Roscoe. In Roscoe.
Well,
you know, that's a very that's a little city here between, I believe, Rockford.
Right,
and
right. No, they had a number of locations.
Oh yeah, they had several locations, and the paper also wrote that they closed six locations in northern Illinois.
Right. Right.
You know,
This has been going on a little while now, and they had, when they started a franchise, they had stores like in Wisconsin and Indiana, and you know, I mean, hell, I think they had things in Tennessee, but it wasn't, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like Rockford, but they had one in Little Rock and stuff like that, but. But that's just not the same. It was the Illinois locations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, because you remember you once worked in Rockford.
Yes, absolutely. And I would go to Beefaroo for the, what was it, the turkey bacon sandwiches very often with before I'd go on the air. You know, show prep to me is making sure I eat. Absolutely. I remember them fondly. And so,
I was at WMTA. That was another station.
Of course, absolutely. Of course.
Yeah, and that's where I met Doc McDuck.
Right.
You know, and he wanted to sell me WROK. Because at that time I had a lot of money, but I wasn't going to spend it on WROK.
Well, no, absolutely not, for all sorts of reasons. So, wow. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I'm very sad to hear the news.
Yeah, so am I. But I have another sad news for you about Chicago.
What?
Well, there is a... That came on some kind of a survey that was done by Orkin. You know, if it bugs you, bug us, you know.
What?
And so,
where is this?
Again,
where is this going?
Well, it's going because I remember several months ago you had a very nice broadcast about rodents and these kind of things, and they said that Chicago is again number one for bed bugs, and I'm afraid of it.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was wondering if you could give us maybe a little bit what to do if you know anything about, you know, how to get rid of them. Or
yes, it is the number one most bed bug infested city in the U.S., and that yes, Orkin's 2026 bug bed list, and Chicago maintains its number one standing. Los Angeles is number two, followed by Detroit, Cleveland, and Indianapolis in number five.
Okay.
And, don't sleep in hotels. What can I tell you? In terms of if you're sleeping in your own bed and you don't have bed bugs, you probably won't have bed bugs. You're going to be getting them from somewhere. So I would just watch where I was sleeping. And have I encountered bed bugs? Unfortunately, in hotels, I have. And yes, and you always know when they're bed bugs because there's usually three bites in a row, and you may have it in a few places in your body. And jokingly, the medical profession calls it breakfast, lunch, and dinner because the bed bugs bite you in the three places nearby, and that goes to another place. But you know, of all the things, it's not the worst that's ever happened to me in a hotel by far. So it is a bitch if you're dealing with it at home, but for the most part, you know, assuming that you don't have a problem at home, you're gonna get them because of hotels and things like that.
Yeah. Well, they tell me, you know, I talked to several people, and they said once you have them, it's very, very difficult and hard to get rid of.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Obviously, the first thing you do is, they talk about washing your clothes on the highest heat setting. No, just throw them out. Throw out the linens, anything you've got. If you've got a mattress cover, throw it out. You know, that's the first thing. And then you go through eradication plans. But, you know, if it were me, I'd buy a new bed.
New bed, okay.
Of course, it depends. You know, if you got a platform bed, that's probably just a piece of wood, and that's fine. You've got a mattress on it. If you've got your standard box springs and a mattress, you might have to get rid of both of them. But the big deal is, I'd say, anything you've been wearing at any time in the last month before you have bed bugs, get rid of it.
Throw it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, but that's just me, you know. That's the easiest way to do it.
I mean, you are just the opposite of what's being said. They always say there are more questions than answers, but with you the other way around, you have more answers.
Well, but now if you let's say on the other hand you've got an heirloom and you don't want to throw it out because it can be furniture too, you know, like upholstered furniture, you just don't want to throw it out. Well, now you're dealing with steam cleaning and other things that you probably want to if it's something really important to you, you want to deal with somebody who knows what they're doing. Like a diatomaceous earth. Yeah, that's a fine powder, but again, if you're talking about a chair that you really like that's upholstered, you don't want to put that on the upholstery, you know. Bottom line is if I had an infestation personally, I would just throw everything out. But if it was somebody who had something they wanted to keep, I wouldn't fool around. I'd call a professional.
Professionals and have them come in.
Yes, absolutely. And you know that if it's that important to you, but it's easier to just throw it out.
Well, I think this bed bugs there, I would consider them to be a pest.
Well, you know, I think there's so many things that are pests. You know, for me, because I'm highly allergic to them, mosquitoes are the worst.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
so am I.
Yeah. Well,
I
and.
Must have-
Yeah, so you know, and I mean, you're gonna have that in certain places, and you do the best you can. Right. But for bed bugs, that's a pretty easy answer. You know, same thing if you wind up with something like scabies. You know, don't bother to get the Quell shampoo out. Just throw everything out. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, thanks a lot for your advice.
Good luck. Hopefully you don't get them. All right, thanks.
No.
Appreciate it.
All right. I hope not.
Thanks.
If I do, I will follow your advice.
Yes, we'll throw it out. All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Ralph. All right, so yes, indeed. And when I say don't use the Quell shampoo, obviously on your body you will, but I mean, you know, anything else. All right, so let's see what we can do. We're going to run out of time here. Oh, Dean in Freeport used to work at near Wisconsin by the Montgomery Ward sign. Wow, I hope we don't run out of time before that, but we'll see. Coming up on WGN Radio. Well, I thought that was a break. Are you there, Adam? Earth to Adam. All right, maybe not. In that case, he'll just cut me off when it's time to break, I guess, and that'll be the end of it. Well, let's see how much we can get Dean on the air here. So, Dean, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
I don't know anymore.
Well, hey, I just was over here at Uncle Nick's Euros in Rockford, and I'm heading back to Freeport, but I just wanted to let you know that at 16 years old, I started with Montgomery Ward, and the manager at the time, you know, he told me that if I didn't want to work split shifts as a 16-year-old kid, work 9 to 12 in the morning and come back, work 5 to 9, that I was never going to be anything in life.
Oh.
But
that's hilarious.
I made it.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't know if you ever went up to Monroe, Wisconsin when you were here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, up there is County Brand, and on the County Brand building, they still have the Montgomery Ward sign, and they still give Montgomery Ward credit card, and you can order through the catalogs, but of course, you know, all the Montgomery Ward products. Yeah, but if you go to Swiss Colony up there in Monroe,
yeah,
great place if you love cheese.
Yeah,
and I did see the mosquito sprayer out earlier this evening because of all the rain we've had here. So, so we are taking care of those things. But yeah, I thought that was funny. I was in, you know, high school, and then, in the summertime, he had me coming in working 9 to noon and then coming back at 5 o'clock.
Right, and you'll never make something of yourself if you don't do that. That's insanity. Absolutely insanity.
I think it
might be illegal, but yeah.
Well, that would have been that would have been back in 1973. So I don't know, but he was Montgomery Ward through and through. It was in his blood. And
no, I think I remember this because I think on the building it just says Wards, and then underneath it says like Montgomery Wards, but Wards. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I've seen that on the highway. You betcha. It's like at the end of a strip center. Yes.
Right, exactly.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. It was a red sign.
And then on one other quick note, I'm from Freeport, and we still have a separate franchise. Beefaroo.
I love it.
They
you've just
have
ended
a billboard
the
out there. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, I don't know, but it isn't affiliated with anyone over here in Rockford.
Excellent. You've ended the show on a happy note, and I hope you'll call me soon. Thank you, Dean.
Okay, have a great one.
All right, so I think that's it. I don't know if Adam is still with us, but if so, it's WGN Radio.
Wave the Last Dance for free, plus rideshare leftovers and swipe right. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Dance Thiever, dancing on the stealing. Some stole dance patron gets jiggy gentleman snub outside Chicago when cops say he stiffed the stripper $40 for a lap dance. His payless pity party's just getting started. Loser lapdog threatens the club's staff. The popo proclaim, talks up his assault rifles and resists arrest. Cops even give him the chance to pay the bill, but dancing tool says he'd rather get his cheap thrills in the joint. Lost and Loony. Uber's released its annual Lost and Found list, and the backseat bungle bin is bursting with bizarre baggage. Dentures, duck sausage, a dishwasher, butterflies, a Viking drinking horn, and even a sack of marbles. The rideshare giant says phones and wallets still top the tally, but this year's weird wheel winners prove some passengers are checking out mentally before they check out physically. The dating meme. Caught in an app they can't walk out. Whack widow gives scams a bad name, the feds say. Devil with a shrew dress snares old guys on mating apps, then drugs and sometimes kills them, G-men maintain. 11 victims ID'd so far, the feds say, with several dead and their bank accounts drained. Hell on steals worked both sides of the border, the LA Times reports. The tender swindler now on trial in Mexico for murder, then set for extradition stateside. Cold as vice, Kill Bill, chill. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.